This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
You are invited to take control of the airwaves and talk about whatever you want. 603-283-6160. If you want to do that, that's 603-283-6160. And with you tonight, it's Aria.
Nikki. And it's Funny.
And this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, which is digital cash. It's the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin useless for purchases, and that's more so, I don't know what the rates are, but
they're bad.
I heard a few days ago that they were really bad. And yesterday we talked about it briefly on the air. They were really bad. They were up to like $20 or something like that for a high priority. It's absolutely insane.
Well, not even just high priority a couple days ago. I did not pay high priority. I paid optimal, which I guess is usually about the same. They go with the highest one. I don't know why. But I paid $26 just because it was like I could only pay in Bitcoin for this thing and I just wanted it. It wasn't like a lot of money I had to spend either. It was ridiculous.
That's what makes Bitcoin such a terrible currency, right? Like, if you're buying a $20,000 car, sure, a $26 fee isn't that big a deal. But if you're just buying a meal, then you're paying more for the fee than you are for the actual meal. And Dash doesn't have those problems. A Dash transaction, I believe, is still 0.001 Dash, or at least it was back then. It was always 0.001 Dash, which is negligible. It's a fraction of a penny, if I remember correctly. And Dash transactions are irreversible, and its network is protected from 51% attacks by their chain locks technology. So there's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete. So it's great for merchants, which is another issue that Bitcoin has, where with some wallets, after a certain amount of time, it's just kicked out of the mempool. Or you can replace it by fee. So you can go into a shop and buy something for, you know, $20 or whatever, and then go home and send that money to another one of your wallets with a higher fee so that it gets prioritized.
Wow. And I didn't even know people could do that. But what is kicked out of the mempool?
Koinami used to do this. I don't know if they still do because I've been out of cryptocurrency for like 2 years now. But the mempool is where transactions are stored while they're waiting to be confirmed. And after a certain amount of time, it becomes clear that this transaction is just not going to get confirmed. Like, if you send a Bitcoin transaction with absolutely no fee whatsoever, it's going to be the lowest priority of low priorities. And while that's in the mempool, most wallets won't let you send. Like, if you have 0.01 out there and you're trying and you only have one whole Bitcoin, then, you know, you can't resend it, basically, with some wallets. Koinami now allows you to do this and some others. It all gets really complicated.
That's funny because we have a friend who owns a business and is a Bitcoin maximalist. And the other day I was going to pay for $12 of food and I went to pay for it and the fee was $10 for optimal, so I was like, whoa, I should just use Dash or something, and he was like, just put it for low, I don't care, it gets here when it gets here, so I put it for low, it went to like $2, which is still kind of crazy, but I checked today to make sure it actually went through to him, I was talking to him, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, we determined that it went through, and he just said, it had been since May 3rd, and he was just like, Bitcoin always work. I was like, okay, I'm glad it went through. And he's like, Bitcoin always works, Bonnie.
To be fair, in my experience, this always worked as well. I think the longest I've ever had a transaction in the mempool was for like 8 days or something. And that sucks when you don't have a lot of cryptocurrency and all of your cryptocurrency is tied up in this mempool and you're just waiting on it to confirm and it just refuses to. But big thanks to the Dash DAO, that's the Decentralized Autonomous Organization, for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about it. That's Dash.org. But let's get on with the phones. We are talking about sexuality and bromances and other topics here, and we have Major Payne on the line from Michigan. Major, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, there's so many what, 3, 4, 5-letter acronyms now describing sexuality. When I was a kid, I don't know, this is back in the 80s, I guess I was a young man. So I'm sitting around with a buddy of mine, and we're discussing this. So obviously, we must have been having a bromance, right? So there was three different kinds of people back then. There was heterosexuals, there was homosexuals, and there was transsexuals.
We're already inaccurate at this point, right? Because a transsexual isn't an orientation.
Well, okay, I came up with a whole nother subspecies at that point, which I called a trisexual.
Species.
So what is a trisexual?
Well, they'll try anything.
My God.
Fair enough, I guess. But, I mean, it's not fair to say that there were only three orientations then or whatever, because, again, transsexualism it's an identity, not a sexual orientation. But it's inaccurate. It's just like saying, you know, that there's only men and women out there, or there's, you know, only hydrogen and helium out there in the universe. We're just discarding huge percentages or huge portions of reality because most things fall into 80 or 90%.
Let's go back to just the word trans. Okay, I remember 10 years before this conversation, what a trans was something connected your motor to your rear end and gave you freedom. Transmission. Now, I don't know how this came to be sexually innuendized.
It's not. It's just a prefix.
This whole...
Trans literally means...
And language theft is just ridiculous.
Trans means across. A trans person moves across gender identities. That's all.
I don't think.
Are you saying transsexual, transgender people stole the phrase trans from transmissions? Because that's
just a prefix.
I don't know what.
Because it meant lots of things back then too. There was still transcontinental. Just because it didn't take away from transmission because transcontinental existed.
Well, that means to go from one to another. It's a connection.
Right.
What they're doing is not what they're doing. They're transitioning into, you know, a different gender.
Or you might say they're going from one to the other. Right, Major?
Well, I really don't understand this. I know, there was pitchers and catchers. And now there seems to be nothing but, I don't know.
Well,
the whole world has gone crazy, and I'm totally freaking lost.
This girl on Twitter is looking to make a movie, and her name is Pariah the Doll. And they need extras, and they said it's like finding a needle in the haystack to find straight men in New York City to be extras. They said everybody that keeps coming forward is a gay male that wants to be in the thing, or a woman.
Why can't they use a straight male?
They want to use straight males.
I mean, why can't they use a bisexual male? It's not like,
because
is this porn that they're shooting?
No, they just need extras, and everybody that wants to be in the movie that keeps coming forward looks gay to them, I guess.
Yeah, maybe. Thank you so much for the call.
They're probably searching for truism, and they can't find it there.
What's
there are
truism?
No real men in the cities. They're nothing but soy boys.
I don't know if Pariah the Doll cares about that.
Yeah,
they got limp willies and weak minds. I'm out.
Yeah, thank you so much for the call tonight, Major. It's simply not fair to characterize trans people as just coming out of nowhere. The world hasn't gone crazy at all. It's become more accepting of people's differences. Trans people have always existed. And the left-handed example is still the best example to explain what's happened with gay people and LGBTQ people, right? Where, 100 years ago, you were bad for being left-handed. Left literally, I think there's the word sinister, which meant left-handed. I don't remember exactly how all of it played out, but basically you were considered evil or bad to be left-handed, and they would force people who were left-handed.
Yeah, and they would tie their hands behind their back.
Yeah, and they would force you to learn to use your right hand because you're not allowed to be left-handed. But then when they stopped doing that, when they allowed people to just be left-handed, they were like, oh, I guess, look, 12% of the population is left-handed, whereas you would expect people to say, well, Now we've got all of these left-handed people running around. Where did they come from? There were no left-handed people when I was a kid. Well, there were. They were just forced to be right-handed. And that's the exact thing going on with sexuality and gender identity today, where trans people and gay people, we've always been here. It's just now no one's forcing our hands behind our back and forcing us to write with a certain hand to make themselves feel more comfortable.
Yeah, I think if anything, the world has gotten less crazy, right? Because previously, like, there's always been gay people, and I'm sure there's always been, you know, trans people. But previously, these people were being murdered, and they were being, you know, like, I mean, still in a lot of countries, they stone people for being gay. They literally throw rocks at them, and they murder them. I mean, that is absolutely crazy. So, and
it wasn't that long ago that it was happening in the United States. The Stonewall thing that happened in New York City was only, like, 40 years ago, right?
Yeah.
When black transsexuals and black gay people in New York City had to defend themselves with bricks against police officers for basically being charged with being gay.
Yeah, so I just don't get how, like, the tolerance that the majority of our society is, like, I don't get how the tolerance is what's crazy, you know? It's like these people
have... they're going to clown world, right?
I think they're just confused. They just, like, don't understand that, like, people can be different. And for some reason, a lot of people, most of their lives,
you know, people were forced to not be different.
Yeah. And I think a lot of conservatives, it's just, like, for some reason, trans people and gay people... just existing is, like, threatening their own existence.
Right.
And their own security. Like, I don't understand. Like, just, like, Arya being a woman doesn't make me any less of a woman. Is that hard to understand?
That's
like, we are two different people.
That's the main point of all of this. It's just that people can't let other people live their lives and just be okay with other people living their lives. And I don't understand why. Like, why do you have to be involved at all?
Yeah.
And they say, like, oh,
we have to save the children.
They're putting our faces in it. They're out about it. And that is completely a you problem.
It's also not true. Like, in all of my life, I have never had a gay person knock on my door and be like, can I interest you in the merits of being gay today? Or you know, can I give you this pamphlet about being gay? But I can't count how many times I've had Christians come to my door and be like, here's a pamphlet. We don't want you to burn in hell for all eternity. Not to say nothing of how Christianity is just pervasive throughout the United States to the extent that all of these laws that you're seeing that outlaw drag queens and whatever throughout these states, they're ultimately based in Christianity. There's a few degrees of separation, but really the reason all of that exists is because of Puritanism, which is there because of Christianity. So all of this is ultimately, to say nothing of all of that, right? I have never had a person knock on my door and say, hey, have you considered transitioning? But I have absolutely had Christians leave flyers on my doors. There was one time when I lived in the South where this old preacher came up to me and insisted that I take his car because he was a pastor. And he was like, no, I insist you should have it. I was like, I don't want this. You know, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in your God and I don't want this. So I would take it anyway. No, I'm not taking it.
Wow.
And, you know, I had fallen for it. That when someone walks up to you and they hand you something, people instinctively take it.
Yeah.
Right, and I had taken it. I was like, well, no, I don't want this. Take it back. He's like, no, I'm not taking it back. So I was like, all right, well, I'm putting it here on the counter, and I'm not taking it because I'm standing my firm ground on this. You have no right to demand me to take this, and I'm not going to. I don't want it. But I've never had a gay person or a trans person do that.
That's just crazy. I got, I was bagging groceries once, and I didn't get paid in tips. They paid you good enough for this to not need tips or anything, but this guy was like, can I give you something, and gave me a tract. It's just like, what? Why would you even, like, I don't know. Like, I'm just, like, sitting here bagging groceries. A tract is a Christian pamphlet, mini pamphlet.
That's
even like
what
bathrooms,
is that?
Yeah.
The worst ones are the ones that pretend to be tips, like money tips. It's like you look at it as like a $20 bill or whatever, and then you open it up and it's actually not a $20 bill. It's a religious tract. Dude, that's so messed up.
And it was funny. I was actually just talking about that this morning when I was a waitress. And I've been a waitress or a bartender at, you know, probably like 5 or 6 different restaurants. But for some reason, this one restaurant I worked at, they would leave us so many of, like, the youth group pamphlets and the little mini Bibles and stuff like that. And it's almost offensive because it's like, why are you looking at us thinking that we need, you know, prayers or we need saving or something? Like, we didn't ask you to come into this restaurant and save us. Well, it's just like, disrespectful almost.
There's like a little subset of people that no one like has ever cared for them, and they're going to get hooked by that because they're going to be like, this like nice old lady came in and she could tell that like, she could tell that I was like struggling, and then she gave me this tract, and now I'm going to go to her Bible. I've seen it a million times.
Yeah, it's like
manipulation.
It's almost like a weird cult, you know? It's like, why are you coming here poaching our waitresses? Like, go away.
You know, that's why they're so scared of indoctrination and drag queen story hour and all of these other things.
That's their game.
They go out and proselytize and try to recruit. They seek out the vulnerable, the ones who look like they're troubled, and they go, hey, look, come join me. I can make you whole again. God can save you. And they expect the LGBT people to be out there doing the same thing as, oh, I see you're a troubled young kid. Yeah. Have you considered being gay? No, that's you Christians doing that crap to people. The rest of us aren't. I've never had a Muslim do that. I've never had a Jew do that. It's only ever been Christians. And maybe if I lived in other parts of the world, that would be different.
But that's a good point, though. In America, like, I've never had a Muslim try to make me Muslim.
No, but I live in the United States, and the show is based in the United States, and I have never had anyone but a Christian come up to me and try to recruit me into their way of life. And that's just a statement of fact. And I would speculate that everyone out there listening can make the same statement of fact. That you've never had an LGBT person do it. Because it's crazy, right? And as an LGBT person, I know, you know, the whole born that way thing, it's crazy to think of a black man going up to someone and be like, hey, have you tried being black? Maybe that'll solve your problems. Like, no, I know that's not the way it works. Just like the black man knows you don't just become black one day, right?
Well, it's funny because that's like what like a lot of straight, I don't want to say a lot of straight guys, but I've heard straight guys say this where they're like, yeah, you know, I don't care that you're gay, but just don't hit on me.
I know.
And it's like okay, don't flatter yourself, bro. Right. Like, I doubt any of these gay guys are going to like start hitting on you.
It's very peculiar, man. It's so strange. And I don't know how to, I don't know why they think that sexuality, like if you're a straight dude, right? Why do you think that someone can convince you to be gay? Because that's what I don't understand. Like, I know there's this entire culture of oppressing LGBTQ people and convincing gay people that they're actually straight. And, you know, these indoctrination camps, what is the word I'm looking for? Pray the gay away camps you know, the suicide rates are sky high and all this other stuff. And maybe they're effective to a degree temporarily, but ultimately if someone's gay, they're going to end up being gay. And no amount of indoctrination or brainwashing tactics ultimately change that.
Like, that's just the most important thing for a child to be spending their time doing, too. It's like, yeah, don't spend your summer, like, reading books and, you know, going out and exploring nature. Just, we want to make sure you're straight. That's crazy. I just can't even
imagine. It is. But see, that's what they think. They when you operate under the belief that sexuality and gender identity and all these other things are choices, then you and you're weak and you're afraid that everyone can persuade you or persuade your children, and then it's a very simple thing to believe that people can persuade you, but like that's not the way any of this works. I can't persuade you to be gay any more than I can persuade you to be black. That's, you are what you are and I am what I am, and the sooner we all accept that, the sooner we can move forward and stop doing these crazy things like passing laws that make it essentially illegal to be trans or gay or whatever in certain places. But let's go to the phones. We do have Chuck on the line from Washington. Chuck, you are on Free Talk Live.
Thank you for taking my call. I really look forward to this discussion on Wednesdays when you guys are on the air.
Yay.
Particularly.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask, I guess I got some good news for all the Trump supporters out there. He won't be having to register as a sex offender, so that's a plus.
Well, he was never going to have to as a result of this thing, right? Like, he was being sued in a civil court. He wasn't being charged criminally.
How can you get... I saw a headline today. I didn't read it, but I saw a headline that said he is being found responsible for sexual assault.
But not rape.
But
the jury specifically said that he did not rape the woman.
Oh, okay. But I didn't know that you couldn't get, like... become a sexual offender because some people are sexual offenders just for doing something like putting their hand in someone's shirt. You know,
well, as I understand it, the barriers of proof are lower in civil court than they are in criminal court. And we saw this with Christopher Cantwell when he got sued in North Carolina, and a bunch of other, you know, alt-right people got sued in North Carolina. The reason they were sued was because you don't have to be convinced beyond a reasonable doubt. You just have to be convinced based on a preponderance of the evidence that it was likely that this thing happened.
Yeah.
So you just have to be convinced that there was a greater than 50% chance.
Hmm.
But in a criminal court, you would have to be convinced beyond any reasonable doubt.
Well, I just...
Does this make Donald Trump a unregistered sex offender then?
I mean, if he's a sex offender, he's a sex offender, and I can't really say whether he is or not. He's made off-color comments, but to me, that doesn't necessarily make him a sex offender.
He'd been found guilty of a sex crime, and
he was not found guilty. He was not found guilty of a sex crime, though.
And
a jury
found
that he was likelier than not to have sexually assaulted this woman.
And you can be found, like, people have been found guilty of things that they're innocent of. So, like, in the realm of legitimate truth, I wasn't there. I don't actually know whether he is or isn't. Maybe he is.
Okay, so
it surprised me.
The thing is, none of the three of us have some kind of, like, reason to defend Donald Trump. It's just the fact that the justice system doesn't actually work to find the truth of situations. It just, we don't have any faith in that.
I'm just trying to figure this out, what kind of... how this is all going to pan out here.
He's going to pay the lady $5 million, and that's going to be the end of it. There's no criminal charge here. There's no registering as a sex offender. If she had enough evidence to get her convicted, they would have done that. She sued him.
I've never even heard of a civil sexual assault.
It sounds weird, doesn't
trial.
It?
Yeah, I would have always thought it'd have to be
criminal. It sounds motivated by money.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, if I was really sexually assaulted, I don't think this is the route I would go down. Like, I don't want money. Like, there's nothing you can do to give me back what you've taken from me if that really happened to me. You know what I mean?
It's possible that was her only route. Like, there just wasn't enough X or Y to prove it, to get it criminal. But I'm just saying, I've never heard of a civil rape case. That's crazy.
Well, as I understood it, she couldn't even remember what year this allegedly happened. So, I mean, she's not a very good witness about this event. And, you know, I've never been sexually assaulted, but as I understand it, it's a pretty traumatic experience that sort of gets locked into your memory. Like, I can remember exactly what March the 16th of 2021 was like. And I remember that. I remember going through it from beginning to end. And allegedly, that's what people experience when they go through sexual assault, especially rape. So being unable to identify the year, to me, seems strange, but I don't know. I wasn't there.
I think it's strange, but also, like, it could affect someone the opposite way. I really have no actual opinion, but you could also, like, react differently where now it's like everything's more foggy.
And thank you so much for the call tonight, Chuck. I don't think it makes really that much of a difference. The people who support Trump are going to continue supporting him. It's not going to bar him from office.
It's done way worse things.
Yeah, he's not going to be a registered sex offender. He's going to pay this lady $5 million that he's probably got lying around, and that's going to be the end of it.
Is this what he got raided over?
No.
Something else?
No, they're doing everything they can to target Trump, as far as I can tell. 603-283-6160. There's more coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
You USA News update. The White House says it's trying to find a path forward to keep the U.S. from defaulting on its debt. Staff from congressional leaders' offices and the White House have been meeting daily to try and find an agreement on raising the debt ceiling. Yesterday, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and other leaders from both parties met with the president. Another meeting is set for Friday. The next few days and weeks will be difficult at the border. That's according to Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas.
The lifting of the Title 42 public health order does not mean our border is open. In fact, it is the contrary.
Title 42 was the COVID-era immigration policy that expedited deportations. An over-the-counter birth control pill may be coming. A panel of FDA advisors has recommended that the pill, called O-Pill, be made available. A final decision from the FDA is expected this summer, although they're not required to follow the recommendations. John Schaefer, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live, and you can take control of the airwaves. 603-283-6160, if you would like to do that. That's 603-283-6160. And with you tonight, it's Aria,
Nikki, and it's Bonnie.
And coming up, one-third of scientific papers are fraudulent. Looks like we're probably not going to get to that story, though, but we're also going to talk about
the
metaverse.
I believe that,
100%. Yeah, well, it's been a known problem in academia for quite a while now, where, like, first of all, you have people who are writing, like, spoof papers just to get them published, and it's complete nonsense, and they're just testing how low standards are. Those things certainly happen a lot, but you also have these rings of scientists who, like, they cite themselves and each other to give themselves more credentials, and it's all very...
It's all about their career and not actually about finding the truth of the reality of this world we live in.
Right. What they have built up here is a system where the only thing that matters is how many times your name is attached to a paper. And because of that, they'll publish anything and everything.
I know you didn't want to get into it, but Ian read me this article that was like, it was actually kind of proven that ice cream is good for people with diabetes, but the scientists just didn't want their name on that, so they kept changing their experiments and stuff until they found like enough evidence that yogurt was good for people with diabetes, and they published it, and it still had the ice cream data in there, and they just didn't put that on the title, didn't talk about it in the summary, because they didn't want, it sounded too crazy.
Well, there's so many different ways to manipulate, like, the results,
right?
You know, or even to write a misleading article, like the headline will say one thing and then you read it and you're like, is that really what this data and evidence says?
Right.
Well, there are a lot of ways to say something, like saying to your partner, hey, we need to have a talk tonight, right? It's very different from saying, hey, there's some stuff going on that I'd like to run by you. Like, you're saying the same thing in both of these scenarios, but the message is very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not too difficult to find a way to say something that paints it in a completely different way than what you might want to say it. And that's one of the things we have to be aware of here while we're doing radio, because we are, you know, improvising constantly while on the air, and we have to try to be as careful as we can to choose the words that precisely mean what we think they mean or what we want them to mean. And it's a very difficult balancing game, and sometimes you just don't succeed.
Ian is just like a master propagandist about, like, spinning anything to, not spinning as in lying, but making it sound like very good news out of New Hampshire, and it's just like, doesn't seem that great, but he's just a master propagandist.
So we're talking here about bromances and just masculinity, and that led to conversations about sexuality in general. But I want to get back to the story here about bromances, because I think it's kind of sad. Well, I mean, I think it's positive that men are, you know, opening up themselves and engaging in, you know, honest, open, communicative relationships with one another. But it's true that men often relate to others differently than women. What the? That's such a bizarre way to phrase it. It's true that men often relate to others differently than women. Okay,
I think it's differently than women do. Yeah.
Yeah. So women react to people one way, and men react to people another way.
Don't like about statements like that is it's just generalizing to, like, very large populations of people. Like, I hate the, like, oh, men are this way and women are this way. And I know statistically speaking, like, I'm sure, you know, like, the majority of women maybe behave the same and the majority of men maybe behave the same. But it just feels so inaccurate to me. I'm like, I don't know.
Generalizations they're useful to a degree, certainly, but they're not universally true. So they say, for example, men might talk less about their emotions than women do. And, you know, that's they do hedge their bets a lot here by saying men often relate differently to others and they might talk less about their emotions. So good on them for that. But we are talking in generalities here and general statements that are not universally true. But if we look closely at the way that men express themselves and connect to other people, we can begin to see the beating heart of male friendships that's rarely acknowledged and even dismissed. And I would suggest that it probably wasn't that big of a thing until probably this century, right? They mentioned earlier in the article, and I glossed over it, but, you know, a lot of men say that they don't have any male friends at all. And that, to me, is just sad. And it reminds me of, like, the 50s, 60s, and 70s man type of thing, where a man has to wear a suit and, you know, just go to job and then come home and have dinner and then go to bed or whatever and not show any emotions and not have any friends.
Work in the garage alone, silently. Just Hank Hill. There's a whole episode.
Yeah.
Hank meets a friend that's perfect for him. They drive the same truck and all this stuff. But he lives 20 minutes away, so Hank ends up not being able to be friends with him.
Yeah, that episode was kind of sad.
It was literally sad.
But by focusing on the relative lack of verbal expression to suggest that male friendships are not close, we risk limiting our understanding of what intimacy is. And we then do not see how men demonstrate closeness less obviously in coded ways or even silently. And that was why I brought this article in, because it gets into some of this, because maybe that's true. Maybe men aren't as closed off to one another as we would expect. Maybe they just express it differently in ways that we wouldn't expect. Contrary to the notion that it's used to put up walls, humor, such as the use of provocative nicknames, can promote a sense of closeness. Well, I don't know anything about using humor to put up walls. I find humor to be a healthy coping mechanism for all manner of things, like
making friends.
Yeah, and I mean, we joke around at my job constantly. That's all we do. And humor is a huge part of my life.
To a bad thing. That's so weird.
It is very weird. I don't think about it as putting up walls at all.
No, I mean, I cope with the majority of my trauma with humor. I mean, like, that's what keeps me going.
Right. Like, I recently made a joke. I was talking to someone on Grindr. They asked me what I did. I was like, oh, well, I'm retired. And they said, well, yeah, what did you used to do? I was like, oh, I operated an unlicensed money transmitting business. They said, what do you do now? I was like, well, hard labor, right? It's humor. It's a joke. And it's a coping mechanism. It's not putting up a wall or anything. It's taking this tragic circumstance and trying to find some joy in it.
And putting up a wall, to me, I find that humor brings people together. Like, it's almost the opposite, you
know? That's crazy. That was just an absolutely out-of-pocket thing.
Yeah, I think they're wrong about humor. There's an irony in the fact that talk between men might be construed as offensive to an outside observer. Instead, it can signify an emotional closeness that can only be established between good friends.
You know, I do feel a little bad because I joined the org I'm related, or, you know, I'm doing their I'm their spokesperson with.
For who?
For Liberty Policy Alliance.
Okay.
And whenever I join the group chat, they always say, like, they'll, like, send a link and say, check this out, Kings. And then they have to add, and Bonnie, and stuff like that. And I feel bad about it. I just want to be like, you can call me King. I don't care. Not really. But, like, I don't know. I feel like I messed up the dynamic. But that's a great example of a group of people all around my age. We're literally within, like, 5 years of each other, up and down. I'm, like, in the middle. They're all men, and they're all really good friends. They joke with each other, and I don't see any evidence of, like, the Hank Hill thing. Like, I just think the dynamic has changed so much from the generations. Like, there's nothing gay about it, and there's nothing, like, I don't think they would be afraid for other men to find out about this chat room. I think it's just normal.
I think a lot of social development has happened recently. Like, I think, like, the millennial generation, like, things have changed a lot, you know, versus, like, boomers. You know what I mean? Like, things are very different now.
Yeah, when I think about the people who are walled off emotionally, I think of the boomers.
Yeah.
So I have to agree. I think things have changed socially, and that's been a positive thing. Amid unspoken rules that men should be macho and not express weakness, it's no wonder they sometimes struggle to open up emotionally, but readings of male friendships as shallow assume that men are unable to negotiate the rules of masculinity. The truth is that regimes of masculinity are largely imposed on men, and they do their best to play the game or to subvert masculinity if they can. And I'm starting to think that this article goes off into bizarre realms here, because I didn't get this far into it. I was like, ooh, that's fascinating.
Who's putting these parameters of masculinity on them? Because I don't think it's women.
I think they mean society at large.
I think men put it on themselves. Like, the way that men are expected to be is entirely decided by other men, not like women, you know?
I think you're probably right. And we see the same thing with women, right? Like, I've never had, you know, women always worried about, like, their shoe color being judged or their eye color or their hair color being judged or whatever. But, like, that's one woman judging another woman, right?
Men never care.
No, and I suspect that women are never judging men based on their masculinity. Men are judging each other over that. That's their version of hair color and shoe color that they're getting worked up about. But I'm going to post this article to our Mastodon. You can find that at social.freetalklive.com, because I feel like it's kind of run its course here, and it's starting to get into some bizarre territory that I don't really want to get into anymore. We gave it like an hour and a half anyway, so it's fine. You know, bromance on the rise, and that's, as far as we can tell, that's a good thing
it's
for
just
society.
Because I forgot that was the headline, because it seemed to be like saying the opposite. Most of what you're reading seemed like they were trying to say, like, oh, it's really bad, you can't be friends as a man. But
well, that's how it was. But they're arguing that that's changing, and that's a good thing.
Then in that case, I'd agree. But for some reason, I didn't get that vibe from the article.
It was a peculiar article at times. Plus, we got sidetracked a lot into talking about other things. So, so anyway, the study about scientific papers that we started to talk about at this particular segment of the show. Around a third of studies published in neuroscience journals and about 24% in medical journals are made up or plagiarized, according to a new study. Or a new paper, rather. The research, referred to as a preprint, meaning that it has not yet been peer-reviewed, looked at 5,000 published papers at first reported by Science. I guess Science is some magazine, I guess. I don't know. Or some journal. I don't know. and they don't say. They do link to it here, but whatever. Using a simple automated detection system, the researchers looked for two telltale signs. Whether an author was registered with a personal rather than institutional email address, and if that author listed their affiliation as a hospital.
And what is that supposed to mean?
Those were flagged as potentially fake and were then checked by humans.
What's wrong with them putting a hospital?
I don't know.
Hmm. Apparently, maybe it's just they're more likely to be, like, based on the amount of people that are scammers or posting fake articles, those people are more likely to list a hospital?
Well, it seems they were more likely to use a personal email address
and
to list affiliation with the hospital when they were submitting these fraudulent papers. And I don't know why they were doing that, but they've identified this pattern and they went with it. And they flagged as potentially fake about 1,500 of the papers, and they were likely fraudulent. The humans then went on to check those papers that met those characteristics and determined that 1,500 of the 5,000 they looked at were fraudulent.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That's a lot.
That's a pretty bad track record. Academic careers are publish or perish. If scientists don't publish lots of widely cited studies, then they won't progress. They're therefore incentivized to get their names on as many published papers as possible and to make sure those studies get citations rather than to find true facts.
Mm.
And that makes sense, right? If that's their goal, if what they need to get further in their career is for people to cite their studies, then they want their name out there on more and more studies, even fraudulent ones.
It's just like the incentives have been so messed up in science that I just like can't even believe most of what comes out of the doctrine, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I take everything with a grain of salt. Like, unless I did some sort of research myself, like, unless I've seen it with my own eyes, then it's hard for me to just blindly trust, even, like, no matter who did the study, no matter, you know, what organization they're associated with, it's just... I just have that suspicion.
A lot of the times whenever I can't decide if some health thing is true or not, I just test it on myself because I'm just like, there's no other way for me to find this out because it's like, I can easily find an article that says this is true and easily find an article that says it's false.
And it's so hard with stuff like health, like diet stuff is really difficult because you can find just completely contradicting information and they'll both be peer reviewed. They'll both be, you know, well-known scientists, you know, with associated with really famous, well-respected organizations.
Well, eggs are a great example, right?
Right.
Eggs were healthy and then they weren't healthy. And
yeah,
then
they go back and forth.
Partially healthy.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, What is the truth?
The truth is eggs are healthy.
That's
For some people, probably.
Well, and then of course, not for people who are allergic to them or something. But they're not going to give you heart attacks. They're not the cause of heart attacks.
Probably not. But I don't know.
That's what the government type... It's not the government. But the scientists that are, like, you know,
like
government
affiliated,
Yes, are saying right now.
There are also websites that before the rise of artificial intelligence and ChatGPT and other things, they would generate fake scientific papers for you.
Yep.
And someone did this. They generated a bunch of these fake scientific papers using one of these websites, and they got them published in a number of different journals.
That's scary.
I wouldn't be able to find that now, but I'm sure if someone wants to look there on the internet for it, you can find it.
I think you covered it on an episode before.
But yeah, this thing certainly happens where you can get a fake, completely fake, nonsensical paper generated and get it printed in one of these publications because their standards are very low. And even if their standards were higher, you can just do crap like this. The paper mill industry has risen as a result of this incentive where the important thing is to get citations and nothing else. But it's just one way in which academics can boost their records. Some scientists repeatedly cite their own earlier papers, even if they have no relevance.
Wow. Oh, just get their name mentioned more.
And that's the thing, too. People don't always check the citations.
Yeah. And
so,
I mean, that's a tricky thing. I remember years ago, I watched this video, like 30 little known facts about the U.S. or something, where they claim to have citations, and like the U.S. is a corporation of the British Empire or whatever. And you look at their citations, and they're like they don't
it's
even
irrelevant.
Yeah, they don't say anything like what the guy is purporting.
Hmm.
And when you point
that's
this out to some of these people, they're like, "No, I gave you the citations. It checks out." It's like, but it doesn't, right? Like, check what the citation actually says, And it's a meaningless citation.
Mark did this today. He sent the 50 in the, or Freedom in the 50 sent Freedom in the 50 States link and said, you can't even claim that New Hampshire is first on this list because they're neck and neck. You can't even claim that New Hampshire is better and put the link. And this guy that was just like a random guy arguing on Twitter with Mark, he was arguing with me, but that guy came to my side, was like, the link you posted contradicts what you're saying. Like,
but
New Hampshire is number one.
It.
No, he was just trying to fudge his language in a way to manipulate the conversation. He does.
So sometimes some scientists are repeatedly citing their own earlier papers. Like if they write a paper on, you know, the effects of eating eggs, they might cite their earlier paper earlier in their career about cholesterol or whatever, even if the paper has no relevance to their new study about eggs. And it's understandable why. If citations is what matters, well, that's one more citation they just got, right?
Well, it's just like in high school, right? You're writing your, whatever, your research paper, and it's like you need your 10 citations.
Yep. And some of them cite themselves. There are also citation rings of scientists who all agree to cite each other's papers, again, regardless of relevance, and undeserved authorship, in which scientists get their names on papers they didn't write, either by paying for it or by mutual agreement. All of these practices artificially boost the scientist citation statistics, and those are observed phenomena in the scientific world, right? Like, we know for a fact that researchers and scientists do this, where they pay to have their name on a study, or they mutually agree that they're going to cite each other's studies, or they're going to put each other's names on their studies. It's messed up.
So bad. And when somebody is just like, hey, I discovered this thing, and it's actually contradictory to what we thought, let me tell you about it. They'll go against this person because it's against the doctrine, it's haram, and they don't care what is true. They just don't want this coming out that they got debunked.
Well, we saw exactly this with the COVID-19
Absolutely.
Vaccines, right? Where we have an endless stream of doctors and of researchers assuring us that the vaccines were totally safe. And then another set of doctors and researchers like, hey, guys, no, it's not really that simple, and they're probably safe, but they might not be. And then yet another set is like, no, these things are absolutely not safe. And ultimately, people are just going to find the one that says what they want to believe, and that's going to be the one that they cite. That's the one that they're going to assume is correct because it's saying what they want to believe.
Yep.
And so how do we determine the truth when we have scientist A saying one thing and scientist B saying exactly the opposite? They can't both be right. One of them has to be wrong. So what do we do? I don't know.
I think the only thing that can come to mind to fix this at least a little bit is fixing the incentives by not letting government be allowed to be involved in it at all. Why are the people that are supposedly supposed to only exist to protect us from war and things like that, why are they involved in the process of science? Why do they get to give money to certain, you know, researches and things
like
that?
Well, and, you know, like financial studies. Incentives, too.
Right.
I mean, once there's financial incentives for scientists to believe one way or another, it's hard to not have things be skewed.
You would not get funding today if you wanted to do a scientific, if you had a proposal to do a scientific paper on how, like, being gay is a choice, right? You would never get funding for that study, even if you believed you were right. And even if you were like, hey, look, I can present arguments that this is the reason we need to explore this. No one would pay you to undertake that study.
Yep.
So the ones that get funding are the ones that push the narrative that they want to have pushed in the first place.
And it's also governments being involved in colleges, because colleges are usually where these things happen, or a lot of the times where they happen, and colleges are an arm of the state.
Everyone in science knows about these problems, but surprisingly few people do anything about it. The Oxford psychologist Dorothy Bishop says that this matches her own experience. If one points out academic malpractice to publishers or institutions, there is often no reply. That even after 5 years of reporting fakes to these journals, another biologist, Elizabeth Bick, has never seen any. Well, she has most of them have not been dealt with, she says. So you point out that these papers, hey, this is fraudulent, or this is citing things that are completely irrelevant. They don't do anything about it.
That's crazy.
There are, well, I mean, it's sort of understandable why they wouldn't, because if they retract it, then that damages their scientific credibility, right? I mean, in reality,
yeah,
it strengthens
true.
It. Because
hopefully
I,
articles like this damage their credibility.
Hopefully. But I would argue that it would strengthen it, right? If a scientist says something and then they later retract it, that to me makes them a more likely to be correct about the things they have not retracted.
Right.
Because I know that if they're wrong, they will retract the wrong statement. Whereas...
Yeah, not double down on, right. you know, their wrong opinion.
So I would rather have a scientific journal that does issue corrections and remove
papers. Oh, they've never been wrong.
There are plenty of other issues with scientific research and publishing. Journals take scientists' work for free or even charge to publish it and then charge them again for access. So it's all a financial scheme, evidently. Editors at one journal walked out recently over unethical publishing fees. And there is a website, I don't remember the name of it now, that it provides you, or it did provide you, with all of these research papers for free. And God, I wish I could remember the name of it. I want to say that the guy who did that, though, he ended up killing himself because
no,
he was
terrible.
He was targeted by intellectual property firm or whatever, and
wow.
it was ruining his life, and he was going to face lifetime in prison or something.
Oh, my God.
I may be mixing up stories, but something like that certainly happened over intellectual property that was related to research. I don't know. It's a mess. And the demand for positive results incentivizes scientists to hack the data up until they find something, as Bonnie mentioned previously. You know, that's what they, in regard to the ice cream,
yeah.
they just kept slicing up the data and rephrasing it until they were talking about yogurt.
Yep.
And they included the ice cream data.
But it was like a, nobody was, you'd have to be paying attention to notice it. Oh, wait, this paper technically says the ice cream is better for this than yogurt. Why is this whole article about yogurt?
And ultimately, it's because it would be an unpopular thing to someone say, hey, it turns out ice cream is relatively good for you. But outright fraud, you would think, should be easy to fix if detected, and yet the scientific community often ignores it, which undermines the entirety of science. If a large percentage of studies are fake, how can we trust the progress science makes? And I think that's a valid question, and I would ask the people who wrote this article to apply that to some of the stuff we've heard in the last few years about, you
yeah.
know, things like the COVID vaccines and
absolutely.
Other stuff that we can't be sure about.
Yeah, I mean, I use a lot of anecdotal evidence for that reason, because unless I can see it with my own eyes, it's hard for me to believe it.
Greater transparency would be a start, but ultimately the incentive structure of science has to change. And I'm going to post a link to this as well over on our social media server. That's social.freetalklive.com. Coming up, the U.S. is transferring Russian money, stolen Russian money to Ukraine. 603-283-6160. It is Free Talk Live.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.